Oh, what a horse. It still makes the hairs in the back of the neck stand up when you hear the mighty Might and Power destroying his opposition. That win in the Caulfield Cup, the Cox Plate and the Melbourne Cup, throw in Queen Elizabeth. It gives you a good indication of the explosion of prize money. After all those unbelievable races, Might and Power ended his career with just $5 million in the bank.
Well, not much of a sling for Pumper.
And speaking of the Pumper, it's great to catch up with Jimmy Cassidy. How are you, mate?
Good morning, boys. How are we all?
You know, Winx won $26 million. You're in the wrong era, mate.
Yeah, I know, but that's the break. I was lucky to ride a great one, and what a horse he was.
Well, wasn't the only great one, but he could well have been the greatest Pumper. How'd you feel when eventually his name was put alongside a Group 1 race?
Yeah, look, I rode him in a two-win race at Canterbury. I won a two-win 1900 on him as a three-year-old, and then he took on the three- and four-year-olds a fortnight later and beat him again. And I said he's a Caulfield Cup horse, and that was 12, 18 months out.
Pumper, just fast forward to that period just before the Caulfield Cup. From memory, he was unlucky in an Epsom, and he came off an Epsom, and no one knew much about him. I think he'd won a Frank Packer Plate, and we hadn't seen him as a destructive front runner. We didn't know much about him. We sort of seen him out the corner of our eye, and then you came down to the Caulfield Cup. I think you're about 8 or 9 to 1. What were you thinking in the mounting yard that race? Were you thinking, I'm going to smash this lot up, and they're going to see how good this horse is, or did you not really know at that stage?
Nah, look. It's easy to talk after the game, but Moraitis would always tell you that, and Brett Grant, that I said after I won on him at Canterbury. But if you look at his runs, he should have won the Epsom. He should have won the Derby. He should have won the Derby by as far as he won the Caulfield Cup. And then he come out and won the Frank Packer by 7. He should have, and Yorkie was lucky to stay on him. I wanted to get on him in the Packer because he should have won the Derby. If you go back and look at his replays, he should have won that and the Epsom, and then he'd come down and won by 7 in the Caulfield Cup and won the Melbourne Cup. So I got beat on him in the Rosehill Guineas. He ran third. I think Shane beat me on Leon McDonald's, good three-year-old. Anyhow, he had class written all over him, but Jack would never let us lead on him, and when I went to Melbourne, I said to Brett Grant the night before the Caulfield Cup sitting at the Crown Casino, I said, I'm leading tomorrow and he will win.
Well, you were spot on there. You nearly lapped them. The mercy rule come into play, Pumper. That was the key. Was that the key? Was he simply just a much better horse when he was in front? Because you mentioned the Epsom and particularly AJC Derby coming from behind where he was luckless. Were they sorts of things in your mind that made you think, take luck out of the equation and go to the front?
Yeah, exactly. Riding him back was a minus. And every time he was ridden back, he got beat. And I had the kahunas to do it on a race in the Caulfield Cup, and he never looked back. Every time he led, they didn't beat him. So he was big, he was strong, he was bold, and he needed room to put his legs down. In a Derby, where a stop start or an Epsom, no good to him. If he leads in either of them, he wins, or box seat, he wins easy. And he wouldn't have
his
been.
His action needed room, didn't it, Pumper? He had the most extraordinary, high-reaching action that if you cluttered him up, his action was too big for tight room, wasn't it?
Yeah, well, that was the key to it. You just had to, any horse, let alone Might and Power, you just had to, you've just got to give them room to put their legs down, the good ones, because they travel better than the rest. And if you give them trouble-free runs, that's why I've never cared to sit three deep, give them a trouble-free run. I sat three deep many a group ones and one out of trouble. And Might and Power going to the lead in the Caulfield Cup was always the best thing. Jack said, don't you lead on him. I said, no, I won't. And I never hesitated. I said the night before I was leading.
Jack was a grouchy enough bloke at the best of times without going against him, Jimmy.
Well, I could feel Nick Moraitis and Jack Denham trying to strangle me in the Caulfield Cup with a round to go. When I turned to home, they turned around and wanted to kiss me butt.
That's why you've got two cheeks.
Right, one for each of them.
His record is just phenomenal. But it's not just the races. It's 7.5 lengths in a Caulfield Cup. 5 lengths in the Group 1 Mercedes, 10.5 lengths in the Queen Elizabeth, 6 lengths in the Hollandale. And then, you know, he wins also the Yolumba by almost 3, a Cox Plate by 1.5, and the Queen Elizabeth by 7 lengths. His domination was just breathtaking. There's been a lot of talk about the two new kids on the block at the moment. We get to see Zaki today in the Might and Power and Incentivise. How do you reckon Might and Power would have dealt with these two guys, Incentivise and Zaki?
If they could run a record for a mile and a half when they're both at their best, well, there's nothing between them. But if they can't, it'd beat them all the time. Any horse at 2,000 metres, if they could run close to 2 minutes or 2-1, they could beat Might and Power. But at his best, they couldn't beat him because he could break kicks. He could run 2 minutes flat for 10 furlongs.
Pumper, they have both a bit Might and Power-ish, aren't they? The way they sort of run relentless furlongs up on the speed, and especially in cinema. Honest answer, no bias. I think most people who are trying to look at a horse that could have pushed Winks, you know, over 2,000 metres at their best, how would you have gone about taking on Winks with Might and Power when he was at his best over 2,000 metres at, say, Flemington?
I would have rode him just to ride him 2,000 metres on a good track. I'd just ride him to run as close to 2 minutes as I can. If she was good enough, she'd beat him. Easy as that. There's not many horses can do that.
Jim,
you have a look at Wait for Age. They break 2 minutes in over 10 furlongs of Wait for Age.
Just got a text from Greg Hall showing me a photo of that Melbourne Cup with the angle appearing to show Doremus beating you by a nose. Tell us the little chat you might have had with...
Paulie sent me one too, but it was...
And me. We've all got it. It's part of his therapy to move on from it. It's 30 years ago and he's still just trying to work his way through it, Pumper.
Well, he's an Aussie. He's a little bit slow. I'm a Kiwi. I knew what number was in the frame.
Hey, you've had two Melbourne Cup winners, one from the front and the other one from out the back. Funny story, I don't know how many people may or may not have heard this before. Pumper, can you very quickly tell us about the chat you had with Roy Higgins the day in the lead-up to that Melbourne Cup that Kiwi won?
I arrived in Melbourne, I stayed at the Park Royal. I got a cab from the Park Royal to Flemington and back, like $2,000. Cost me $1.74 in a taxi, so I kept $1,998 because I didn't like to win on Kiwi. I was lucky enough to catch up with Roy Higgins prior to the Melbourne Cup and said, Mr. Higgins, can you give me any advice about the Cup? He said, where will you be first time round, son? I said, I'll be last. He said, well, the Melbourne Cup starts at 1,000. Where do you think you'll be there? I said, I'll be last, Mr. Higgins. He looked at me and he said, well, you've got to watch out for them from the 1,000. Horses that can't run 2 miles start dropping back, blah, blah, blah. I said, that'll be right, Mr. Higgins. I'll be last. I'll be able to see them. And he sort of looked me up and down and said, well, where do you think you'll be on the home turn? And I said, probably last. He looked at me, put his hand out, shook my hand, and said, good luck, son. And he went up to the commentator's box and watched the call of the cup with Clem Dimsey. God bless him, the pair of them. And he turned around and said to Clem Dimsey after the race, he said, I was with him with Jimmy Cassidy. He said he made the most outlandish statement I'd ever heard. He said he was going to be last, and win the Melbourne Cup. After I collected by 1,998 to win, I went and bought a dictionary to see what outlandish meant.
Hey, Pumper, your story's supposed to be rags to riches. You lob over as a teenager, you're staying at the Park Royal, and you've got $2,000 in your pocket.
I borrowed it because I was getting $18 a week. The Melbourne Cup was worth $180,000, and the biggest percentage I ever got was $18,000. They paid me that for winning the Melbourne Cup.
Well, there you go. Hey, talking about rags to riches.
We're just struggling to hear a little bit, Jimmy. Maybe you can just move into a little bit area just to make the line clearer. You there?
Is that better?
Yeah, that
sounds a lot better.
Speaking of rags to riches, when you rode Redoute's Choice in that epic Guineas...
Why don't we have a listen to the finish? Yep. Because it's the greatest finish and the greatest call, and then we'll talk to Pumper about the Redoute's Choice Caulfield Guineas.
Testarossa sprinting very fast, has moved up and has gone to the lead over Redoute's Choice. Cassidy had to pull the whip, and then pins. It's Testarossa clear, though. Redoute's Choice is coming again. Testarossa has to find Redoute's Dance. He lunges and wins! Choice, big Testarossa, a magnificent Guineas in behind.
It was. I did a story once where I tried to work out the actual value of Redoute's Choice at his peak at stud. I worked out that he was worth more than $1 billion, Pumper. Did you realise you were sitting on $1 billion when you surged past Testarossa that day?
Well, I made him a $1 billion stallion that day.
Exactly.
By lifting him.
Have you been properly rewarded for that?
Well, no, I didn't actually. I got something, but not for any part of the $100 billion or whatever you think he's worth. But what a colt. He dug deep. Yeah, great race. It was one of my great rides to be able to lift one. It was one I lifted and made a champion stallion, part of it.
Is that one of your most favourite victories when you look back on your career, which has just been phenomenal?
Well, that was when I started the Ring a Ding Ding, Pump as the King, because I had the utmost respect for Ollie. He was a younger boy. He was flying. He was riding for Friedman and all the big stables, and the pressure was on me. It was a stallion-making race. And I elected to lead. He hugged off the fence. The champion jock got up inside me and I was able to pick him up and make him win the last four hops. And it made him a great stallion. I went on against, won the Manicato on him first up as a three-year-old, and that helped. And history is the rest, but certainly one of the great races and great rides.
I reckon 25 years later, you made another stallion. I might be wrong here. Did you ride Zeus Star when he won the Coolmore?
100th Group 1 win.
Yeah.
I rode him right through.
Yeah.
One race.
You're a stallion maker.
Yeah, well, I'm a good stallion. I've got three beautiful daughters. yeah, I'm a good sire of fillies.
Hey, Jimmy, just a word. You mentioned Ollie. It's hard to believe. He won his only Caulfield Guineas in 1990, 31 years ago. He's on the favourite Animo today. The longevity that he's been able to have in the game, the it'll second win. Most Group 1 victories in history, it's quite phenomenal.
Yeah, it'll win. If he rides it like the Ollie of old, don't panic, just be patient. He knows Caulfield better than anyone. I'd love to be on him. If I had a ride today, I'd want to be on him. Barry is only a number.
And how are you going? There was a little dalliance with maybe a comeback a while ago. What's Jimmy the Pumper Cassidy up to these days?
Yeah, I'm having a go at doing a little bit of training with a few horses that I've got a little bit of an interest in with some clients. So I'm doing that down with Jim and Greg Lee. It's given me a bit of a chance, and I'm sort of having a look and see how things are going. I trialled four yesterday. That couple weren't right, so I've just got to try and put it on the racetrack now.
Have the golf courses reopened in New South Wales?
Nah, not yet, but my place never closed.
Oh, you got a little... What do you got set up there?
A little nine-hole, but it plays 18 with all different two boxes.
Well, that's exciting. The next phase...
I'm broken this year because I had to I had to play on my own.
You can't rig it if you're only playing against yourself.
Oh, no. You cheated everything, but not golf.
Pumper, great to catch up, relive some of the memories of the great Might and Power, and today we get to see him honoured with the race, the Group 1. Good luck with the training, Cope. We're looking forward to catching up with you as well when that gets a bit more developed further down the road as well. Well done, Jimmy.
Yeah, it would have been nice to be in Melbourne today with your boys to see the guineas, and I hope you have a great meeting, good punting, and keep safe. See you soon.
Thanks, Jimmy the Pumper Cassidy.